and focus our attention on the final verses of the passage that we have been reading over the last few weeks, beginning at verse 18 through to 21. But before we turn to the reading, let's take a moment to unite our hearts in prayer. Our loving Father, we come together here tonight to wait in your presence, recognizing your promise to us that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in our midst. We thank you that it is no vain thing to wait upon the Lord, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They run and are not weary. They walk and do not faint. Your word confirms that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. We recognize our need for sustenance, for nourishment. We need to be fed in and by your word. You have confirmed that just as in the life of the psalmist David, when your word is hidden in our hearts, it protects us, it guards us, it governs our lives, and it leads us on the journey until we reach our desired haven and are found, having been brought from this life into the next, as those who engage in that grand inheritance reserved in heaven for us. And our Father, we come together here to raise our voice in thanksgiving as we acknowledge yet again your hand has graciously been upon us. In spite of the inclement weather and the storms which have been around us and the little break out in the various clusters with the pandemic, you have kept us safe. You have maintained your watchfulness over our lives. And we are gathered here with a testimony to your goodness. And our loving Father, we want to raise our Ebenezer in your presence and declare, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. As we come together now around your word, we pray that by your Spirit you will teach us, that we will understand the precepts of Scripture, and as you lay upon our heart, layer upon layer, word upon word, precept upon precept, statute upon statute, may we develop in our minds and in our hearts not only a longing for, not only a love for, but that strong desire that compels us through a conviction that is inward, a conviction of the heart. May we find ourselves desiring to know in order to grow into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. We pray for those who are watching through live stream tonight. We pray for those whose hearts have been opened by your Spirit, those who desire to feast upon the word, knowing that you have promised, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Draw near to those who are not well, those recovering from surgery, and those who are waiting for treatment, those who are contemplating a visit to their doctor or specialist. those who feel the weakness of the body, and who on this particular night feel vulnerable with the inclement weather. Grant that as we gather around your word, we may enjoy the fellowship of the saints, and may we recognize yet again that the word that goes forth from the mouth of the Lord shall not return void, but shall accomplish that which you please and prosper in the very thing to which you have sent it. And so, Father, we lift our voice and heart in thanksgiving and praise as we rejoice in all the way you have led us throughout this year. And on this final night, ere we break up for the holiday season and for Christmas and all that is brought into our lives as a result, we pray that you will stamp your authority and your approval upon all that we have learned and enjoyed throughout this past year, though broken at times by the restrictions placed upon us. And we pray that as we look forward to the new year and to beginning again with fresh studies, we pray that we will be directed by your word and protected by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that this night will be a night of rich blessing for us all, and a night when honor and glory is brought to the one whom we love and serve. To this end, Father, be pleased to be present with us, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles once again at 1 Peter chapter 1. And so far throughout the year, as we have been given the opportunity to meet for Bible study, we have only arrived at verse 21. Saying this is the final night for Bible study for this year. We'll begin at verse 1 and read through all 21 verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing once more to the reading of his holy word. Now, for just a short time tonight, we want to, in a sense, round up or summarize or conclude our thoughts that are centered in particular around the final verses of our reading that focus upon the reason for and the means by which we have been redeemed. And you'll find that in verse 18 and verse 19 in particular. Then Peter brings us a word of knowledge and information and instruction as he brings an understanding to our hearts as to the value and the force of our redemption, that is, the forgiveness of our sins. We have noted that the Apostle Peter is writing this letter, and there are several reasons flows or outlets that come from the main purpose of the letter, which is to utilize the courage of suffering saints, those who are finding the going difficult, they're finding life a bit of a struggle, and they need a word of encouragement. Peter is confident that the best form of encouragement for any child of God is to bring them back in their minds and in their hearts to the point of their engagement in and entry into relationship with God. That is the point of our salvation or our conversion. Now, the Apostle Paul is, of course, drawing in not only their past, but also their future in order to stir them up in regards to the present. And sometimes you and I need to be reminded of what we once were and how God has brought us to this point. And we do well to remember what God has promised us for the future. And it's as we examine our lives in the here and now, in today's moment, in the light of what God has done for us and will do for us, we're able to bear the burdens that may be afflicting us at any given point of time. You note as the Apostle Peter draws our attention to the past in verse 18. He is doing this in the immediate aftermath of his comment or statement that is found in verse 17. And if you call on the Father, so that's the current, present moment of need. If you call upon the Father, and here is what we do. This is what God brings into our mind and heart. Verse 18, knowing that you were not. So now the past is being used to encourage the present. Notice in verse 18, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. As we have learned in previous studies, we're now being elevated in our thought from the things that are around us, the things of time, the things of sense, and in the context of this passage, the things that will not and cannot endure. They are corruptible things like silver or gold. So no matter how much they gain our attention, no matter how much they gain our affection, the things around us in this world, whether or not they bring joy or pain, are in themselves things that will one day pass away. But in contrast, the means of our redemption, the means of our salvation, have provided us with an enduring relationship because God has performed in us an enduring salvation. Our salvation is eternal. It is built upon the eternal promises of God. Its foundation lies in the eternal decrees of God. And therefore, with this confidence and with this hope, we're able to face the pressures of our lives, be they physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. There is always grace sufficient to meet us at the point of our need. Now, last study, we did not get to finish the study properly. And I want to just begin with this little comment as we move through these last two verses, 20 and 21 of 1 Peter 1 tonight. And to do that, let's go first of all over to the book of Hebrews. Just go back a little into the book of Hebrews, and we want to focus our attention for a moment on the 9th chapter and the 14th verse. And here we have the unfailing commitment of God to us in through the death of Jesus and the shedding of his blood. This is what the blood of Christ has achieved for us and thereby has applied to us in our minds and in our hearts. Look at verse 14 of Hebrews 9. How much more shall the blood of Christ, Peter has referred to this as the precious blood of Christ. And here the writer continues, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So there is the benefit of the shedding of the blood of Christ. Our minds, our hearts fully occupied in trying to formulate a way to heaven, trying to open up a way of escape from the condemnation and the guilt of our sins, recognizing that no matter how hard we try, we can never be good enough. We can never be prepared enough to be acceptable before a holy God. For every sin we commit in our minds, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, our deeds, every sin of which we are found guilty is a breach of God's moral law and therefore an attack upon his righteousness. We are made in the image of God. And yet the sinful nature of our heart condemns us to a life that is vain and foolish as we try to make ourselves acceptable to a holy God. But here we are reminded that the application of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses the conscience, that is, brings to our mind and to our heart the confirming evidence that we are no longer living under the condemnation of the law. We are saved by grace, and that has not come about of ourselves, not the result of our works, but according to his mercy has he saved us. And so here the writer confirms that one of the benefits of the shedding and the application of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus is that our conscience is cleansed. And as a result, as a consequence, we're now able to serve the living God. Now just flick over into chapter 10 of Hebrews and look at verse 19. Here is another benefit or blessing. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. So here's another blessing, another benefit. The result of the shedding of the blood of Jesus, we now have a boldness to approach the throne of a holy God, knowing that the throne before which we bow is not a throne of judgment, but rather a throne of grace and of mercy. This only comes about as a result of the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now let's go over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 6, we read, if we say that we have fellowship with him, that is with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we have an empty, vain profession of faith without the assurance that we are in possession of that faith, our lives have been changed. We are not only the children of God by what we say, but by what we do. And what we do is the direct result of what we are. That is what God has made us. So here is the contrast. If I'm deeply religious, trying to get to heaven by my own good works, then I may profess to be a child of God, but the life I live will deny that reality. But we read in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, here's the contrast. John has already told us in his gospel record in the opening comments that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We don't want to come to the light if we're not living a righteous life. But here in this verse we read, but if we walk in the light, that means not only peeping out or coming for a moment and then vanishing back into the shadows. This is the long-term commitment to live in the light and thereby to walk in the light. And then here is the glorious result. We have fellowship with one another. That is, God and I. We have fellowship one with another. So that means not only do I have fellowship with God, but God has fellowship with me. We cannot have that without the application of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Now read the end of the verse. And having given us all the blessings of the first part of the verse, John now adds, and to top it all off, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not just some, not just most, but all sin. So here then is another blessing or benefit that comes as the direct result of the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now let's go over into the book of Revelation. And in Revelation, we will pause for a moment at the 12th verse, and the 12th chapter, the 11th verse. The book of Revelation, chapter 12, and verse 11. And here is the good news, verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. That's the good news. Now note what follows. And they, that is the children of God who are being accused by their accuser, they overcame him, that is their accuser. They overcame Satan, the devil. And how do they do that? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of God. of their testimony. Here's another blessing. The covering of the blood of the Lord Jesus, that blood that redeems us, that blood that cleanses us, that blood that gives us boldness to engage in and enter into the presence of God, now gives us authority and power over our enemy, over the adversary, the devil. And you will notice that in verse 12, we are given a warning. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. That's why we, as the people of God, need to stay close to the cross, under the blood, so that in these last dark and dismal and dangerous times, we're sheltered by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, as we come back over into 1 Peter chapter 1, we want to just take a little moment to conclude our thoughts, particularly on these two verses, 20 and 21. Having reminded us that the blood of Jesus is precious, precious to God and precious to believers. And Jesus, in shedding his blood, was as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So he was an acceptable sacrifice. The one entitled to say to your heart and mind tonight, be holy, for I am holy. Now in verse 20, we are given a little insight into the background, into what had already taken place before the work of Christ on the cross took place. This is where it all began. This is where the mystery of incarnation was conceived. This is where the mighty move of God initiated in the heart of God. Way before there was any evidence of the creative work of God and all that would follow right from Genesis through to the book of Revelation. Read then in verse 20. He indeed, the word translated here indeed has that double thought of truly, truly, or verily, verily. And it really means honestly, honestly. And the double emphasis shores up the thought that is intended. So here we are told, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And the reference here is not only to the one who was foreordained, but to the mission and the work that he would accomplish. Look back at verse 19. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed, that is the lamb, without blemish and without spot. Now, what does the lamb represent? Remember when Jesus appeared by the Jordan, and John the Baptist saw him coming and immediately exclaimed, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So here now Peter is telling us the Lamb without spot and without blemish, the Lamb who would shed his precious blood to purchase our salvation, to give us access into the presence of God, to cleanse us from our sins, to give us victory over our enemies. This Lamb of God was commissioned, was set apart before the foundation of the world. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, the word there that's translated foundation literally means that work of creation. So it's the creation of the world. And just to gather that thought up and lay it in the context of what Peter is wanting to share with us, let's have a little look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 34. Now, I've given you a number of references that you can look through at your leisure. We won't read all of them tonight. But let's go to Matthew 25 and in particular verse 34. And here we are told in the middle of the return of Christ, then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And the thought here again is from the creation. Now, it's interesting if you are at home and you have a moment or two to spare and you would like to do a little of reflection upon the scriptures, get down your Cruden's Concordance and look up the word foundation or creation and do a little walk through the references that are outlined there. And as you do, you begin to see the value of the planning of God in all the work that He has and continues to perform in the world. And take note of the fact that right in there, when God was planning the world and its creation, right at the heart of it was the work of Christ upon the cross. You see, Christ was not thrown into confusion. Heaven was not placed in turmoil when sin entered into the world. God already knew that it was inevitable. God had already planned. And even before the world was created, Christ was the Lamb of God. And in a sense, that shows and it compels us to understand something of the value of our salvation. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2, and these very well verses, well-known verses, Acts 2, and we look at verse 22 and 23. Men of Israel, Peter's sermon, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Notice the action on the part of man. They took Jesus, They crucified him. They put him to death. But in reality, was it their plan? Did it fulfill their purpose? They would say yes. It was our idea. It was our plan. And we made sure that we manipulated everything in order to bring it about. This was our victory. But note, in the first part of verse 23, we read him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Is this not what we were sharing on Sunday morning in the life of Pharaoh? God had already told them what Pharaoh would do. God had it all planned. And so here Peter is encouraging the faithful in their understanding that it doesn't matter what life may throw at us. We may have our difficulties, our hills to climb. We may find ourselves in the deepest valleys. We may be bereft of all human comfort and discover that there are no resources within ourselves to meet these unexpected demands upon our lives and upon our faith. But be of good cheer. We are being held in the hollow of his hand. He knows the way that we take. The one who delivered Job from all his troubles has promised that he will never, ever leave us, nor will he forsake us. Just one little thought as we conclude. Look into verse 21. Again, the focus and the emphasis is on the Lord Jesus, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that, note, so that, in order that, look at the last part, your faith and hope are in God. That is why Jesus died. So that your faith and your hope may be in God. That's why Peter is very careful to gather all of these thoughts around the precious blood of Christ in verse 19. Now we're going to have a little break before we return to our next study. And you'll notice that this is a kind of natural break in this chapter, for when we come back, God willing, on the first Wednesday night of February 2022. Are you ready for that? 2022. What does that tell us all? We're getting older. But look at verse 22. Since you have purified your souls. This is the cleansing. This is the preparing us to enter into the presence of God. This is the overcoming of our enemy, the adversary. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. See, God changes our heart for a reason. There's a purpose in the transformation. And Peter's about to bring that out in the concluding thoughts of the chapter. So God willing, when we come back after the break, we will pick up the theme here and we look at some of the practical concerns of Christian conduct and how we ought to live in the light of the precious blood of Christ being shed for us, and how we can overcome even our deepest anxieties and our fears and our limits and and all of these things. Let's take a moment now to unite in prayer. Our loving Father, we thank you for this privilege that has been ours to spend a little time once more in the fellowship of your people around your word. We thank you that you have reminded us so often that you have magnified your word above all your name. The scriptures confirm that Christ is and was the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We're reminded of the question, what is truth? And the answer, thy Word is truth. Sanctify them by thy Word, is the petition that we need to apply to our own hearts. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to be those who not only profess to be the children of God, but show it in the example of our lives, so that whether we are under pressure, whether we are being afflicted, whether we are being tested or tempted, or whether we are enjoying the rays of the sunlight of heaven upon our heart and everything around us sings for joy, whatever state we're in, help us not only to be content, but help us to so commit our ways and our days unto you so that we may be counted as those who are worthy of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Be with us, we pray, and as we go into recess now for a short time, keep us safe until our return. Hold us in the hollow of your hand and minister your love and mercy and grace to us so that we may be gracious and loving and merciful to those around us. We pray in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining with us through live stream tonight and those who may be watching this on YouTube. We pray that God will continue to encourage your heart and ours as we feel the blood of Christ upon us. Good night and bless you all.